Hello. Good morning and hello. I heard a good morning in there. So we're still going through. I feel like that mic's right at me. We're going through empathy at this time, but we're staying within the context of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. To let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So it's to do with unity and what happens within unity of the body of believers and how we can enact in interpersonal relationships within the unity of the body of believers. But first we have to have that interaction with our Lord, and then he works on our heart. So empathy is the next one that we're going to get to. I will switch over to my PowerPoint here. Whenever it comes, I will. There it is. And thanks to, I think it was Trevor last week and a few others that adjusted our, whatever that thing's called, projector, so that it wasn't pointed upward. Communication was the first one we went through. And then we got into listening through that. And then trust was the next thing we went to. Respect was the next one. And then I had talked to you last week about Parker and Spurgeon when we started off. Some of you, I'm sure, weren't here as well. And just gave how at the very end of that story, Parker gave Spurgeon what he didn't deserve, what he didn't deserve. I'll just read it again. Parker, you didn't give me what I deserved. You gave me what I needed. From the moment the two spirit giants stood, not as rivals, but as brothers in Christ, because of the work of Christ. So empathy would be the next one that we're going to do. But before we do that, there's another verse I want to read to you in Ephesians. I know we've looked at this before, but right at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to pray again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Something as we go through empathy here, I want you to just picture this with this verse at the very beginning, because sometimes we can go and just blast right over. We've talked about therefore before and the point of that, but therefore be imitators of God and just stop there. Selah is what the Psalms say. Stop and think about what you just read. And we need to do that within Scripture often. And I love that it's right there in the Psalms for us in the little side. Read those things. That's there. Selah is there to stop you in the Psalms and think about what you've just read or prayed. And the same thing here. Therefore, be imitators of God. We are to imitate God. We'll get more into this here shortly. But that's a big thing. That's not a small little thing. God, the creator of the universe, we are to be imitators of God, the creator of the universe. Well, we know we're not going to make little worlds in our houses or whatever, or in another world, or create things in such factors as that. But we are to imitate God in our actions, in our behaviors, in our mannerisms. So empathy is a beautiful one for that. Let's pray again. Father, I just thank you this morning, and I thank you for your hand. I thank you for the way you're working stuff. I thank you for what is happening in each one's lives, even though there is extreme things going on physically for many. And I just thank you for the need to look to you for help in those times of need. And I thank you for many who are asking for the physical prayer, but then as well making much of the mental that needs to be done, the work of you and the Spirit's work upon the life, because the physical is dying. Ultimately, we are going to go to the grave, every one of us. But we have a spirit. We have a soul that will live. I thank you that when we have believed in you, that we have hope and peace and joy beyond this body and beyond this world. So I thank you for each one that's here. And again, I just ask that you bless all those going through many hard physical situations right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Empathy. It's right there behind you if you look up. Empathy involves recognizing, being sensitive to, and understanding another's feelings, thoughts, and experiences. It aids in forging deep connections and nurturing compassion and support. So, we should, in one form or another, be able to enact, if not all of this, some of this. Last week I brought up the situation with a husband and wife and the tongue, and just how the tongue the wife couldn't even say loving things when she was given loving things to say to her husband, because there was another heart issue going on there for her. And I don't want to just focus on the wife. Husbands can do the same thing. They can have their tongue and not say anything and be able to not be respectful to their wife with their words. So it's not just the focus on just the wife, but we can all do that, whether we're married or not married. And we can say cursing things to our brothers in Christ. We can say cursing things about our government. I mean, if I said, who has ever said anything negative about the government? I think everyone would put up their hand. Maybe there's one holy and gracious person who wouldn't, but and perfectly good. But we can easily say many things with our tongue, and it is a muscle, and we cannot control it with our flesh. We cannot teach it or restrain it. You can read James today if you'd like and see that more, but we cannot get control of it. And it's the Spirit that needs to do a work in our heart, and then in return, when our heart is being healed and nurtured, then there is action that will happen with our tongue in a way that God will always remind us to slow it down. Be slow to speak, right? And quick to listen. So empathy itself, right? To listen, to hear. Well, we talked about listening before. Another verse that I was thinking about as I was doing this is Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. If you don't flip there, just write it down. And it talks about the heart and how the heart is deceitfully wicked. I'm sure you've heard this many times or been told it many times through your life too, and even coming to salvation. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So the Lord wants to change our hearts. As I said last week too, he gives us a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit when we're made new in him. So there still is a work and an ongoing progress that needs to happen for each of us. Sanctification, it's ongoing. Justification happens instantly. We're made right by God when we believe in the work of Christ and what he has done for us and completed for the glory of God and given to us, I should say. And we have the right to then look to the Lord and be careful of the things that we say from our mouth. But maybe there's some here too today that think, well, I've been changed already. God changed me, right? Just as I just said, the new heart, new mind. But there is still always a work going on. I was thinking about, I gave you an example before with the pedal bike and the motorbike and Israel and when they left Egypt and how Egypt, not Egypt, how Israel was given the laws of God, the goodness of God through prophets and through Moses, and how it's like a pedal bike they were given, and the pedal bike was good, and they used that pedal bike, and then God says, here's a motorbike, and they go, I'm happy with the pedal bike, I want to use this, and he says, but the motorbike is better, use the motorbike, but they don't want the motorbike. They want to keep the laws that they had from the beginning. And the law is good and it is right and it is true, but there is something much greater and better than just the written code, and it is Christ himself that is for all of us. So, in saying that, is to say that if we were given a motorbike and we know the use of a motorbike and we like that motorbike, I don't think any of us would then say, let's put it under a tarp and leave it. I know that through time, and I've heard about people that get really expensive vehicles and then they leave them in a shed forever. I don't know how that works, but But the point of it is that if we got something of great value that would be useful and beneficial to us, we would not want to just leave it where it is. And then when we use that thing, we know that that thing needs work and maintenance as well. And it's the same thing with us. We need maintenance. We have to, yes, come to Christ. The work of the Spirit works on our heart. But then there is as well maintenance that is needed for us to make sure that we are completing the task of God. So God wants to change us at all times. Empathy, though, the word itself, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting word, I find. And then as I did some research on this, and maybe you already know this, but it didn't really come into play in English until 1908. And when it did come into play in 1908, or before it did, it was a German word, which I'm not going to say, and I can ask some German-speaking people later on maybe, but it is E-I-N-F-U-H-L-U-N-G. You might need to see it to say it. F-F-F-F-Long? F-Long? I don't know. Anyways, I'm not trying. I'll just look like a fool here. So, but the point is that it means in feeling. So empathy is to understand and share feelings of another. Sometimes it can be weird when we really get into feelings. We need to be careful as well with this because we can go off track and off of scripture when we start to focus so much on feelings. So just bear with me with this though. So empathy is to feel and understand what somebody is going through, as it's up there right there. Empathy involves recognizing, being sensitive to, and understanding another's feelings. This morning, there was a lot of understanding of others' situations, which were feelings that were going on for others. And there's many here this morning who have different feelings going on within them because of the situations that they're going through. And those aren't wrong. Feelings are not wrong. So when we come to someone, we must have empathy by understanding and hearing what is going on with them. We can listen to people. It's an easy task if you just shut your mouth. You can listen to people pretty easily. And hold your ears out, whatever you got to do. So the exact word empathy, though, you will not find in Scripture other than you will see compassion, or not other than, I should say, instead of empathy, you'll see compassion throughout Scripture, kindness throughout Scripture, understanding throughout Scripture, which goes along the lines with empathy. But compassion, kindness, and understanding are greater. Their meaning is greater than empathy itself. Empathy is just seeing and understanding the feelings of someone. But in the Amplified, I did find in the Amplified Bible, I don't often read from the Amplified Bible. This is my one verse that I read from the Amplified Bible in quite a long time. But I like and found it interesting that it had the word empathy. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Ephesians 5:2, which we had just read not long ago. And it said, and walk continually. If you're in Ephesians 5:2, even follow with me because it's quite lengthy. The Amplified really amplifies. And walk continually in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best of others, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. So just once you see empathy in there. But I like what it said right before it said the word empathy. I'll read the first part of it here. And walk continually in love. That is, value one another's, practice empathy. So do you value others? Ask yourself that question as we go through this too. But on the PowerPoint, with what I just said, there's another verse, Colossians 3:12. And we talked about the putting on and the putting off. But if we don't know what to put on, how do we put something off? And if we don't know what we're doing that we need to put off, how do we put something on? So we need to put on the new self, being made new by God himself, by Christ. So in Colossians 3:12, compassionate hearts is one of the things that comes out with it. The full verse, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Notice the words and the phrases within this, though. Put on then as God's chosen ones. There is intent in Paul's wording with this, how he's making the statement that you are chosen ones of God if you have believed in God. So put on because you are beloved children. We are beloved children. We need to have those reminders, especially when we go through situations that are weighty on us. We need to be reminded that we are beloved children of God. And just as many have said this morning too, but just earlier when Rachel had said about the God hears us. He hears us. Even in our complaints, he is listening to us and he wants to listen to us because he is a compassionate God. So don't ever forget that. God's chosen ones, who is us who have believed and trusted in the Lord, have been made right through Christ. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts is what we're putting on. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Patience, has everyone figured that out perfectly? It's a hard thing, and the Lord uses situations in your lives to work out those things. And that's how he works on the heart of us, because then when we express with our tongue, then we go, oh, maybe that's not what I was supposed to say. Maybe that's what I should have said, or whatever it might be, right? The Lord shows us what's going on with us in our lives as we walk in faith and trust him. He knows what we need. So empathy and compassion have a relatable concept. They're close to one another, but still hold definitive differences in their application. Two meanings with this, or one meaning with empathy and another one with compassion, just to get a little bit more with you. So here with me. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another person. It involves putting yourself in someone else's shoes and experiencing their emotions as if they were your own. Empathy is more about emotional connection and understanding with someone. On the other part of compassion, though, or compassion itself, compassion takes it further. It involves not only understanding and sharing another person's feelings, but also a strong desire to alleviate their suffering. You could say compassion is empathy combined with action. It motivates individuals to help and support those who are struggling. That's what we are to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. And to our neighbor, is to understand where they're coming from, but then put it into action. So interpersonal relationships, that's why I believe this is so important with this, because it's about action. It's about us doing something, not just saying with our mouth something, but doing something. Over the last few weeks, I've spoken about communication. I said this earlier, trust, respect. But within those things, empathy and compassion is rooted all through it. And as we go on to the next ones as well. So Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, really just, I find that it brings out much of what God has intended for us. And I encourage you, you've probably read it 50 times, but read it again. Ephesians chapter 4, read through the whole thing. Because it's bringing out unity of the body of Christ and what we're supposed to put on and put off in there too. But then it goes into in this verse in Ephesians 5:1 again. I want to say it. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, because he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Trust him. Impart compassion on people. Be caring for one another. Be gentle with one another. Trust what God has set in place in your life. We want to counter culture. We don't want to be like the culture around us. We want to counter it. Our culture has the desire to just be done with you, cut you off. I'm finished. I didn't like the way you spoke to me. We're done. You don't like my feelings and you won't care about me. You won't listen to my feelings. And our culture wants to just say, okay, you're done. But we want to counter culture. We can listen to people's feelings, but it doesn't mean that we have to accept the things that they do. We can hear them. So another thing with this, finding the concept of empathy in the Old Testament. I'm going to just push through this with you a bit. So write the scriptures down if you can. Exodus 34:6. It says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.'" That's our God. So you can see empathy through it. It flows through it. Compassion flows right through it. Psalms 103:13-14. It says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." He remembers what we are. We should remember what we are as people with other people. We should remember who people are. People fall into sin. We need to remember that we too have most likely fallen into sin. But it doesn't mean that we should join them in their sin. It means that we should take the burden upon ourselves in such a way that we care for them and we pick them up and we find paths for them that are right. And God, as a father, shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. An exuberant fear. Isaiah 49:15. Write that one down. "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" I would say no, I wouldn't think so. "That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget." He's saying it could possibly be that they forget about the nursing of the womb, but he says, "I will not forget." God does not forget us. Micah 6:8. I love this verse. "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God?" Look up justice if you can at any point in Scripture. It's an important word. I know Diane has brought it up. I think it was Diane brought it up one other day too. But Zechariah 7, 9, and 10. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another, and do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." That verse has a lot of words within it. The verses before that and the verses after that as well. And we, I'm hoping that we'll get into that next week a little bit more to bring out justice or rendering true judgment. This verse calls for empathy, though, within Zechariah here, and mercy in dealing with others, especially those who are vulnerable. You can take vulnerable in a few ways here, whether that's vulnerable because they're weak in the faith or whether that's vulnerable because they're weak physically as well. We need to be careful that we are not taking advantage of people. "If you do not understand the importance of empathy or compassion, you have no right to give anyone a gentle Levitical rebuke, because you are not working from the Spirit, but instead from your own intention. You're working from your own wants and desires, and will cause more harm than good." The reason I thought of a little Levitical rebuke, Rachel had gone through with the youth last week, and they were listening. She was talking about a lot more than that, but it was good. Understanding empathy will help all of us to fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, right? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, empathy is there, but compassion brings out more. Empathy is one part of understanding someone's pain. Just a piece. Understanding the person and where they come from, and compassion is acting out your understanding toward that individual and what is needed on your side to fulfill the law of Christ. So, two other ways just to take empathy and compassion for yourselves home, if you can, take this home with you. Empathy, I feel your pain, I get it, I understand where you are coming from. Compassion, I feel your pain, and I know I want to help you and not leave you as you are. That's what God does for us too, right? He doesn't want to just leave us. He wants to care for us. So both empathy and compassion are important for building strong, supportive, interpersonal relationships. Another point that I had with this too was acting out empathy then in the New Testament. I'm just going to give you a few of these. I had quite a few others, and then I want to get my point across with application here for you at the end. So Romans 12:15, take it for yourselves, write it down. 1 Peter 3:8. I'm going to read that one. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Again, those are very strong words in action to do to others. Galatians 6:2, we've talked about many times too, but we are to bear one another's burdens. And then Ephesians 4:32, I want to read that one. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ had forgiven you. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted is what the ESV says. Forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. A verse that I often fall upon is Hebrews 13:3, which says, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, right there beside them. Just think about that when someone's going through a pain physically in their body or sickness or anything. Think about that. I mean, this is the extreme case of in prison for the name of Christ, but it goes on to say, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. You're taking the weight of that upon yourself, bearing that burden with them because of the compassion of Christ that has worked and been worked within you. Matthew 7:12, you can write that one down for yourselves and take it. I encourage you to read it later. So, with all of this, with empathy itself, we've looked at it a little bit here. The other day, well, last night, we watched Survivor. I'm not saying you should go watch Survivor. Just let me say it. Blanket statement. But if you've ever seen it, if you've not seen it, a show on TV where they put a bunch of people on an island and then they make them do different, what are they called? Not games. Games, anyways. And then different people get kicked off and they vote people off. And it's been on for a lot of years. But the other day we were watching it and there was empathy and compassion shown. So this one battle had gone and these two men were duking it out in this game. And they got to the point where they were just beside the ocean and they had a glass jar, both of them, that they had to fill up with water. And they were given a cast iron pot that they had to go into the ocean, pick it up, scoop up the water, and then dump it into this glass jar, each their own. And then inside, a key that was on a cork would pop up and they can grab it and take it out. And I don't know what they did after that. They won or opened something or whatever. They won. But as the one man was doing it, he ended up smashing his glass bowl or jar, so he was done. And you know, and you could see on his face, he's like, it's over. I don't get the reward that comes with what was to come with. And then he looks over at the other man and he goes, I might as well help him. I've lost anyways. So he starts going in the ocean, picks up, pours the water in to his jar so that the man ends up finishing. The man had hurt his shoulder earlier that day, but he showed compassion to the man by helping him, even though he could have just left him and watched him and wallowed in his, oh, I smashed it and I got nothing. But instead, he went over and helped this man. I thought it was really interesting, and it showed compassion. And I thought it was very interesting the way our cultures are going today, too, and how he did that. There was another situation that happened in that as well. There was quite a few in there, maybe because I was thinking about this so much with empathy that it was there, that I saw it more. But this older man was talking to this younger woman, and this younger woman had come before him, and she dealt with some physical things within her own life, and she was very hesitant to share it with people because they thought they would use it against her and use her and abuse her in the game to get further for themselves. And for some reason, she decided to share with this man about this, and he's like a father to her age-wise. So he listened to her, and I know it's just a show, I know that, but he was listening to her, and as he listened to her, he heard her. He didn't just go, oh yeah, okay, and then move on. And whether it will come true or not in what he said, because he said, you know what, I'm going to help her with this to the best of my ability in whatever format I can, even if I lose the game, just so that she's cared for, because he looked at her like a daughter. I don't know, it's a show, I know it's a TV show, but it really did show the place of empathy in action. But a few other things to see before we come to a close here within action. The Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, from Luke 10, 25 to 37. I mean, that's a really good example of empathy, compassion, grace. But then as well, Lazarus rising from the grave when Jesus come before him, he weeps over Lazarus who had died. He felt the pain that was going on with him. He even wept, right? That's compassion. He saw their sorrow and pain. Then he rises, brings Lazarus up from the grave too. He knew that was going to happen too. But as well, Mark 1, 40 to 45, Jesus encounters a man suffering from leprosy. Jesus ignored the social isolation that was for anyone with leprosy, right? So if someone had leprosy, someone was coming near, they yell out, unclean, so that no one will come near them and be around them. Jesus touches them. He goes totally against everything with what was in the social parameters of everything going on at the time. He shows empathy. He acts out compassion towards a man. Yes, he brings healing. I know Jesus is God, but we are, in Ephesians, therefore be imitators of God. So with this, Jesus gives us a perfect example of what to do with how to enact empathy with others. Ruth, Naomi, I'm sure you remember that whole story. Amazing story. Death was occurring. Ruth says, I will go wherever you go. She gives herself fully to her. Ruth understood the pain of Naomi because she saw Naomi. I'm saying Naomi's name here. Frenchie, Naomi. Naomi. There, whatever the name is. Ruth. Ruth went forward and cared for her mother-in-law. And she loved her and showed empathy and compassion. She was committed to her and then went into hardship in her committal. Are we willing to do this? Matthew 14, 13 to 21, you can take this one as well. The 5,000 all fed by Jesus. He looked at them and he saw the many. He had compassion upon them and then brings a great miracle, of course. But he cared for them. Another one in Matthew 9 as well. You can read this for yourselves later. The woman who was suffering with the issue of blood for 12 years. There's a crowd all around. She comes and she touches the fringe of his garment. Chaos is going on all around. He stops to find out who touched him and then encourages this woman. and heals her. So, maybe each of you have your own story today that you're thinking about right now where someone has showed you empathy and compassion. And if not, think about it. Is there one story in your life that you have where someone has showed you empathy and compassion? I know he will, if you trust and believe in the work of Christ. But a person, is there somebody? Maybe each of you have a story where you have shown this compassion and empathy. I really do believe that we need to make a character trait of exhibiting empathy and compassion to others. And in order for that character trait to happen, we have to form a habit. So, let's pray. I am done. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. And I just ask that everyone will be encouraged and blessed from today, from the prayer time that everyone was able to share and just talk about the hurt or the joy that they find in Scripture or the situation that's going on in their life. I just ask that we would have empathy on one another. And if you put it upon our heart by the Spirit to go to someone, to just tell them that we love them, that we wouldn't be afraid to do so. And just say, I heard what you said and I'm thinking about you and I'll keep praying for you. That we would do that. And if there's more that we need to do, that we would do so. And Father, I just thank you for the music and for the abilities that so many have and for Stan to sing out this morning with his voice. Just what a blessing it is and the gifts that you give each of us and that we can then use those gifts in the body of believers. And Father, if there is anyone here questioning and not understanding anything of what I've said today, that they would come to me and that we could sit together and we could converse together, especially if they didn't understand who Christ is or don't get it, don't understand the empathy and compassion that is given from a God. Who is this God? That they would come and then we could sit together or sit with Stan and any other elders. And any of us, we should be able to share the gospel, Lord, and help us to be able to do so. And just bless us as we go out from here today and as we sing our last song, that we would sing with all of our heart towards you and thank you for all that you have done for us, and that we would administer that thankfulness in action in our lives towards others with compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, here we go. There is none.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find. For when you're to me. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. There is none like you. Touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
I hope you were blessed this morning, and I really do believe Philippians 2:4 is a good reminder for us with what we just went through. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. May you go in peace.